Welcome to episode 69 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. We're going to do our best to avoid making any jokes about the episode number because we're better people than that. That's Jeff Smith joining me as always from Seattle. Hello.
Hey, Eric.
Jeff's a priest too, so or pastor, so we gotta. He didn't know anything about that.
I'm not a priest.
The only 69 I know about is the Tiger Woods final round in the PGA Championship. That's right.
And that's when it mattered.
Starting off this week, Tiger Woods has decided to, despite earlier saying he intended to play all four of the playoff tournaments, has decided to skip the Barclays Championship, citing the need to rest his body, mind, and soul, essentially. How damaging is this? Playoffs, of course, start with the Barclays this week. How damaging is this to the PGA Tour? Should Tiger Woods have played?
First of all, I think it is damaging to the PGA Tour. I mean, they're trying to get the FedEx Cup off the ground, and it's got a load of history to overcome. We've never had a playoff like this, or I guess we have, but it's never really gotten off the ground. So there was a lot of incentive for the PGA Tour to have all the big players involved, most notably Tiger Woods. So yeah, this is a big hit. Should he play? For me, the biggest thing is knowing that Tiger Woods has his whole life and his whole career placed a premium on the majors. And I think that this obviously speaks to the fact that his priority events are all over now, and he has a lot of points already towards the FedEx Cup, and he feels like he can just step in there a week late and contend, which he can. But it's unfortunate for the tour that that he has taken the week off.
It's interesting to note too that in 13 events, 10 fewer than second place Vijay Singh, Tiger Woods amassed 30,574 points, Vijay Singh only 19,000. Of course, now that the playoffs have begun, Vijay Singh is 1,000 points behind because it gets reset to 100,000 and 99,000. So despite right. amassing 11,000 points more, he's back to 1,000. But anyway, to get back to the topic, my personal thoughts are, you know, they're independent contractors, and Tiger Woods is, despite saying he was in great shape and that he felt as fresh on the 72nd hole of the PGA Championship as he did on the first, you know, I'm not buying the whole rest my body thing. I would buy that, you know, he has to kind of rest his mind. He's been under a normal amount of stress for him, but that's certainly a lot of stress. I do think it's, of course, damaging to the PGA Tour. I can't blame Tiger for doing this. I wouldn't blame Phil if he skipped out on this. I think this whole thing is a bit contrived, and if he feels he doesn't need to play in the first event in order to win the thing, so be it. I'd rather see Tiger strong for 3 weeks than see him kind of going through the motions or something. Not that he may necessarily be able to do that. I don't know. It's certainly bad for the PGA Tour. No denying that.
Well, he said he's not going to enter the event to go through the motions, as it were. He said, you know, he's not going to enter an event unless he feels like he can win it. So obviously, he's not going to just come there as a publicist, although we might say that the events that he represents, he is there as a publicist, and he's going to be in the second event of the season, the IMG event. Obviously, that's one of his outfits. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think, you know, the question is it really a playoff now? I mean, what other playoff do you find out that, hey, what if one of our Super Bowl teams said, well, you know, we're going to take the first week off, even though we need to be there. We just wanted to rest our minds. And obviously, it's not a playoff.
No, because, and especially to be a playoff, if the field is still going to be cut to the top 70 or whatever after the first two rounds of the first tournament. But it's not those 70 that move on. It's the top 120, I believe, in the FedEx Cup standings to move on to the next stage. So even have to play, you don't even have to play well if you do play to move on. You just have to have a season-long points total. I don't know. I mean, this whole thing doesn't make sense to me. It's weird to take Tiger Woods, who has an 11,000-point lead, and cut him down to a 1,000-point lead, and also more than triple the amount of points he has already. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Why not just make each playoff event worth even more points total or something like that? Tiger Woods could get to a point where he wins the championship before the thing even starts, but so what if you earn it at that point? I mean you can't tell me basically if Tiger Woods skipped all four events that he wasn't the best golfer this year. He may not be the FedEx Cup winner, but come on.
Yeah, well, golf has never been, apart from match play, okay, we might say that match play is more of a playoff event type approach, but these, you know, stroke play events, we've never seen that turned into some kind of a playoff. So, I think it is a bit contrived, it's a bit forced, and it's unfortunate. I think we talked about this before this season, whenever the FedEx Cup was announced, that, you know, this whole resetting of the points is a little bit odd, although Fincham made the point that it's like, you know, the Yankees finishing 20 points or 20 games ahead of the rest of the field. But again, at the playoffs, they start over.
Yeah, but that's I mean, it doesn't quite work that way. You know, you're not handicapping people because they're still got, you know, nobody starting over from scratch. If everybody started over at scratch, you know, Tiger may have played the first event to get some points. I don't know, but it's not quite the same as anything. It's they've kind of pushed this on. They've tried to make it fit, and it's the first year, so we'll see how it goes. But Tiger not playing in the first one is kind of a big slap in the face, I think, to the PGA Tour. It's his right to do that. So be it. I know I got on Phil Mickelson 2 years ago for skipping the tour championship. Flipped on that a little bit. You know what? If guys want to do something on their own and not show up to an event, it's certainly within their rights.
Yeah, and if the PGA Tour wanted guys to be there, they would mandate to qualify or to continue to play, they would have to be in that first event. I think, you know, for me, we mentioned this probably a year ago. Wouldn't it be nice in the playoffs that we cut out a substantial number of players and only those who, you know, are within the top 50, top 30 or something play, and then they do a regular playoff against one another over the course of 4 weeks or whatever they choose to do.
Heck, I wouldn't even mind if the playoffs were of, you know, they could have four rounds, four tournaments. Okay, take the top 144, that's fine. After every four rounds, or even after every two at the normal spots in the tournaments, after every two rounds you lop off the bottom whatever, the bottom 20, until you get to 30 for the tour championship. They could even do something like that, and then the cumulative score could have a tournament within the tournament, but then the cumulative score could win. Ineligible if you only play three. So that alone might be interesting. That would be, I mean, that's 72 times four holes of golf. That's a lot of golf, and over 288 holes, I think you could have a decent champion, but whatever. We'll see how it goes. We'll see more, but Tiger not playing the first event. So Brent Seneca moved up from 27th to 9th, I believe. Moved up 15 spots, from 26th to 9 in the FedEx Cup standings with his win at the Wyndham Championship, the Nationwide Tour Plus event, because I think none of the top 25 players were even playing. He moved up, had a shot, a great final round 63, though. I'm not sure anyone watched it, though.
I don't know if anyone cared. The story within the bigger story is, who cares? The story within the story is, you know, read what he's said here. If you happen to see the coverage, you know, you really enjoyed the enthusiasm that he brought to that event. And to shoot a 63 and to edge out the next player by what, a stroke? I mean, he really put it up there, and he played a great round. So congratulations to him.
Brent Seneca, one of the young guys that may be doing something on the PGA Tour, so we don't want to take anything away from him. One of several first-time winners here. The article we'll link to has a chart, including Charlie Hoffman, Henrik Stenson, Mark Wilson, Boo Weekly, Nick Watney, Angel Cabrera, Hunter Mahan, Brian Bateman, Joe Ogilvy, and Brant Seneker finishing out at the Wyndham Championship. Final footnote, Davis Love, the defending champion, and the guy that redesigned this course, opted not to play. This also being after not playing at a course he redesigned or helped redesign at the Canadian Open. So Davis Love not earning fans north or south of the border lately. But congratulations to Brant Seneker. I think he's a good young player, so I'd like to see more from him soon. We'll be back soon ourselves after this message from Titleist.
Ones, twos, threes, and fours.
But mostly ones.
I never start with a two.
Ones and threes.
I never play higher than a four.
Low numbers.
I like ones.
Anything but ones.
Fours in the final round.
These ones on Thursdays.
Twos on Fridays.
Threes on Saturdays.
And fours on Sundays.
Five, six, seven, or eight.
Whatever my caddy hands me.
Threes. Anything but a three.
Nines. Any number.
Any number. Any number. As long as it's Titleist.
Whatever the number, more players trust Titleist than all other golf balls combined.
Welcome back. In the forum topic of the week, we have an interesting one this time around. One of our forum members has said the following: I think I can become a scratch golfer after 1 year of playing. So get her done in our golf forum. Basically says, I'm strong, athletic, posed, I have mental toughness. I believe within 1 year I can become a scratch golfer. Eric?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're going to give him a yes.
I'm expected to comment on this. I don't know.
Would you?
I believe an elephant could be president, but I don't know that this is... he asked our forum members. It's up to 5 pages now, so we'll link to it, and you guys can join in. You have to join the forum to comment, but he asked people to give a percentage chance, what percent chance you think he has. The current leading answer is either 1% or 0%. I'm a never say never kind of guy, so I wouldn't personally say 0% chance, but unless he's financially wealthy, without any love interests of any kind, without much fun, and with some good teachers, a lot of free time, and again, a lot of money, I don't see it happening. We had another thread last week where, you know, what's the toughest to get from 24 to 12 handicap, 12 to 6, 6 to 3, or 3 to 0? And I think most of the people said 3 to 0. I mean, you can spend 90% of your career getting down to 3, or 10% of your career getting down to 3 handicap, and then the other 90% of your time trying to get down to 0. So the odds of being a single-digit handicap, I'd 80%. I mean, you know, if you work hard at it, you could do it. Scratch and a 9, there's miles between a scratch and a 9, a single digit. So very, 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 very low odds, I would say. But hey,
yeah, well,
good luck, and it'd be a good story if he could do it. So we could interview him on our show.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add to this other than to say that, yes, he could. But yeah, the question is, do you have a lot of money to just basically take lessons, play golf all day, practice, day in and day out? You know, I think you probably would, a job would get in the way, any kind of relationship, family reunion, you would have to spend day in and day out doing it. And then even then, it's still up in the air.
Maybe he's talking about like at a putt-putt course. They're all like par twos and stuff.
Now, that's a good point.
I could do that.
Context is what we need.
Yeah. What kind of course, man? And what are you smoking exactly?
Must be good.
I don't know. He's born in 1980, so he's 27. And his first name, I think, is Eric, but he spelled it with a C. So now I have to drop his odds down to about 0.5%. Sorry. Spell your name wrong, dude. We'll be right back after this.
I'm working on shortening my swing.
Ball position and alignment.
Not thinking too much.
My first major.
My next one.
Working on getting back on top.
Staying positive after every shot.
Making more putts.
Going lower.
Lower. Even lower.
Finding my caddy.
Just trying to get better every day.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
Welcome back. Lorena Ochoa puts kind of an exclamation point on her year by winning the Canadian Open. Of course, earlier this year, we talked about whether or not Lorena Ochoa would win a major this year. We talked about whether Natalie Gulbis would win a tournament this year. We talked about who was the best young American golfer this year. We're getting answers to all these things. Lorena Ochoa, yes. Natalie Gulbis, yes. Paula Creamer, not exactly having a great year. And then Christy Kerr separating herself as probably the best young American golfer right now. Although Paula Creamer's up there. She finishes in the top of every tournament, just not at the top. This story is about Lorena Ochoa, of course, winning in Canada. Kind of a runaway win, a 16 under 268 total on the Royal Mayfair course. That bumps her up to $2.6 million, which is about one third of Tiger's current earnings. Second on the list is Suzanne Pedersen with $1.1 million. Her fifth victory of the year and her 14th victory in five full seasons. It's kind of odd to hear that Lorena Ochoa only has 14 victories, because you'd swear it's more than that, wouldn't you?
Well, in 5 years, yeah. You know, to me, that made sense. I mean, she's rather new on the tour. But yeah, she has finished out this season very strong. And we, you know, had some comments about the fact that she overtook Annika Sorenstam as the number one player in the world on an off week, so she didn't play. But she has certainly cemented herself as the one who deserves the number one ranking as the top female golfer in the world. And to finish out her season like this, to win the British, it's really great. You know, she's earned this number one spot, proven that she belongs there.
The win, of course, really cements, as you said, Lorena's position atop the women's world golf rankings. Would you guess that her lead over second is greater or less than Tiger Woods, if you had to guess?
Well, if I was going to guess, and I wasn't looking at the sheet, I'd say that hers was less than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, she has 18.23 compared to Kari Webb at 10.5, so a little under 8. Tiger Woods currently 22.3 over Jim Furyk at 8.72, so about 13.5. So Tiger's still 5 ahead of her in the gap department.
Amazing to me how fast Lorena has kind of skyrocketed to the top. We had Annika Sorenstam just a couple of years ago in almost an untouchable position, but here's Lorena now, 8 points clear, just shy of 8 points clear of Kari Webb.
Very true. We'll segue into that, into an article here from John Huggan of The Scotsman, talking about women's crappy short games. That's true. You watch them play, and their short games are not what PGA Tours, what the men's short games are, which, without trying to be gender stereotypical or anything, you'd think some ladies would have a little more touch and feel, because they don't have the brute strength that the guys tend to have. So you think that being able to score, they might work on the short games more. Well, I mean, we all know the guy at the club that hits the ball, you know, 200 off the tee, and yet gets up and down from everywhere. The women don't seem to have that, though.
Yeah, well, that's a noticeable thing on any PGA or any LPGA Tour coverage is, you know, their balls are not as close to the pin. You don't see those hop and stop. It's more of a bump and run thing. Of course, they don't have the club head speed to get the ball to stop. But someone made a fair comparison that high handicappers should perhaps watch women's golf as a good, you know, comparison to our own game because you know, many amateurs can't get the ball to back up as much as the pro men can.
I will move on here to Nick Flanagan, who earned a Battlefield promotion from the Nationwide Tour to the PGA Tour. Of course, since the playoffs have just started, he'll have to wait 4 weeks until he can play. He'll have to wait till after the Tour Championship before he can play on the PGA Tour, but he'll play in the fall series, you know, that chance for those guys at the bottom to get their way into the top 125. But of course, he secures his card for next year, which is the main thing. Kind of curious what he'll do. Is he going to take a month off? Or is he going to play some more Nationwide Tour events just to earn some money? I don't know. Once you get your PGA Tour card, are you allowed to play on the Nationwide Tour? Maybe he's not even allowed to play on the Nationwide Tour anymore. Because he's already,
I don't know,
been promoted.
Right. Can a PGA Tour player drop down to the Nationwide Tour and just have a hack at it?
I don't know. I don't think they can.
Not too many people are lining up to do that.
No, so I guess he's earned himself a month off, basically.
That's good.
Enjoy your time off, man. He's Australian.
He can work on his short game.
This article says, you know, he's Australian, and he may be one of the better Australians out there, better than Jeff Ogilvy and Aaron Baddeley and those types. Finally here, an article that's, what's that?
I was going to say, wow, that's phenomenal.
Finally here, an article about a small school in Pennsylvania and a female golfer that wanted to join the men's golf team because it's a class of literally about 30 or 40 people. They have grades 1 through 12 in the same school and only have about 240 students. So no girls golf team. She joined the men's golf team. And one of the parents of a guy who she bumped from the lineup, because she's actually the best golfer in the school. She's the number one golfer on the team. He went to the school board and had her kicked off the team. She's been through school board meetings and so on to get her position secured on the team. And, you know, I just find it disgusting that this guy is Mr. Parsons. He was arguing things like it's the principal and stuff, but just kind of go read the story for yourself. You know, let me know if you're as disgusted with this guy as I am. And it just bugs me.
Well, it's money up, man. I mean, this girl obviously has got way more game than your son. So why don't you encourage him to play well, so that he can make the team, like would be the case if there was another male there. I mean, obviously,
right.
I think both Eric and I are going to say this is ridiculous. This girl, this is her only opportunity to play. She tried to find another avenue for that, didn't work out. So, man, I respect her, and I think the character that she's going to obtain by going through this and doing it with a great attitude is going to really stand her in good stead.
Hey, we've said it before on this show, mostly talking, of course, about PGA Tour professionals. If you don't like something, play better. If you don't like not being invited to invitationals, play better. Maybe you should pass that along to your kid, because I don't think you're teaching him a very good lesson, Mr. Parsons. I don't think telling him, hey, if you don't like something, complain to people about it is the way to go, when there's someone else involved.
Well, Parson earns the Sand Trap Podcast Weasel of the Week award.
I'll call him a Jackass of the Week. That's no problem there. He's in the running for Jackass of the Year at this point as well. So
yeah, no kid.
All right. Well, that on that sour note, that'll conclude episode 69, teehee, of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Check our site out at thesandtrap.com on Wednesday for the show notes. Check our forum out at thesandtrap.com/forum. Send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show. We got a couple last week that were interesting, so keep those coming. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.